Today's scripture reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Verse 1, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Mic test. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is good to be back, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your support and for your encouragement in prayer over these past 1.5 years. So this morning, as we wrap up the evangelism study and sermon series, I hope that we have all been encouraged to once again be intentional to look for opportunities to bear witness for our Lord Jesus, whether at work, at play, or even at home. And so in previous weeks, right, if you remember, we were encouraged to remember our own conversion. We were encouraged to remember God's amazing grace. We were encouraged to have compassion on the last, the least, and the lost. And the truth is, there has been so much to take in. And perhaps as we consider, as we ponder the Lord's imperative to us, some of us may start to feel a little bit like, but Lord, how? How? I know I'm supposed to do all this, but how? So the question perhaps some of us might be asking is there some kind of secret ingredient for powerful witness? Because the truth is, many of us do feel inadequate to the task, and we don't feel that evangelism is something that we could manage. What if? And, you know, so on. So the first thing I will say on this topic is to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, that you are not alone. Okay? You are not alone. Remember the Apostle Peter? So we have this image of the Apostle Peter being a very powerful witness for Christ. But if you remember your Gospels, you will remember that he is the one who denied Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed. Remember that? And you know what? He was not the only one to drop the ball. He was not the only one to fail Jesus. Most of the rest of the 12 apostles failed that night. One betrayed Jesus to the religious authorities, selling the Lord for the price of a slave. One denied Jesus, the other 9 disappeared somewhere. We don't even know whether they had the chance to deny Jesus. And at the end of the day, we find that only the Apostle John was there with Jesus at the cross on Golgotha. Now that would be a little bit of an eye-opener for us, I think. So the question is, what is the secret ingredient which transformed the fearful disciples into powerful preachers of the gospel? What is the secret ingredient to faithfully bear witness to our Lord Jesus Christ? And so I want to ask us to please keep this question in mind as we commit this time to the Lord in prayer. So those of us who are able to, I want to encourage you, please stand if you're able to, and then let's join our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, as we ponder your word this morning, we ask your Holy Spirit to write the truth of this passage on our hearts, so that, Lord, we would be able to understand, apply, and even live it wholeheartedly. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So let's turn to our Bibles, whether it's your hard copy Bibles or whether it's online on your devices, that's fine. Let's turn to our Bibles. The focal point of our text, right, reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the first thing that we draw our attention to is that it is absolutely clear that as Christ's disciples, we are called by our Lord Jesus to be his witnesses. That point is doubly emphasized because if you paid attention, you will realize that the book of Acts is actually part two, or perhaps even a continuation of the Gospel of Luke, right? And so you see, verse 1 draws our attention to the fact that Acts, just like Luke, was also addressed to the man named Theophilus. And in Acts chapter 1, from verse 1 to 4, the author basically recaps for us the Gospel of Luke. And notice, if you will, what was written in the closing chapter of Luke. So if you look at Luke chapter 24, we find that Jesus said in farewell to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And so when an author from Bible times repeats something, especially in the same or the related work, the inference for all of us doing Bible study now is just as if it was being typed in bold on Microsoft Word, or if you were watching it on screen in TV, it would be the equivalent of turning up the volume and maybe it's the Bollywood type movies where this kind of passage is flashed multiple times to draw your attention to it. When an author from Bible times repeats something in the same or related work, the author is emphasizing a vital point. And the point here, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we as God's children are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And so the question some might ask might be, so how do I be a witness? Well, in the secular world, right, a witness is someone who has seen an event happening. And in daily life, normally this is in the context of you know, a case of a crime or maybe an accident where the person can testify to what had happened. And so in this case, of course, you and I, we would not be this sort of witness the same way that the apostles were, because we simply have not seen the risen Lord himself with our own two eyes the same way that the apostles did. And that's just simple factual truth. However, may I put it this way, each of us have experienced the risen Lord and what he has done in each of our lives through his Holy Spirit. Or at least, I hope that is true, right? That we have experienced the change that the Holy Spirit has brought apart in our life because of what Jesus has done. And as Preacher Carol mentioned a couple of sermons ago, right, the question maybe for us to start the ball rolling in our minds would be, do you remember life before you met Christ our Lord? And so, you know, the initials BC is not just before Christ. When we date some document, BC would very much be before Christ, as in our lives before Christ. What was life like BC? And the truth is, some of us perhaps were more anxious. Some of us perhaps felt that life was without purpose. Others of us felt even a fear of death. Others were driven by, I don't know, money, pride, even lust. And the list goes on. The question would be then, what about after you had come to believe in and trust in Christ? Was there a difference? Surely there was some kind of difference, right? So maybe after today's service, when you have had coffee, tea, before you go back into your various activities, maybe it would be good for us to spend some time today reflecting on our own life journey. The word some people like to use is to journal it. Right? Write it down somewhere. Recall what Christ has done for you in your own life. Can we do that? Because this would be your testimony, which you could share one day with your neighbor, whether it's your friends, your family, your colleagues, or maybe even your actual next door neighbor. Because in the pace of life that we have today, sometimes we really have forgotten. We've even forgotten what we did last week because things just happen in rapid succession so quickly. So I want to encourage us, perhaps after today's service, when we go back, let's spend a bit of time in quiet before the Lord and consider what our lives were before Christ. And then after that, what difference did it make? What is life with Christ now? And that before and after actually is a powerful witness. And then some of us will be like, wait, but we haven't had that kind of dramatic sort of conversion, right? What about some of us who came to know Christ in a more gradual way? Maybe through Sunday school, maybe through our parents who had faithfully, lovingly, and caringly taught us the Bible, prayed with us, and encouraged us through our childhood. What about us? Count or don't count, right? And what? And we need to realize that this is equally a valid conversion experience of Christ. The point would be, let us be ready to share what Christ has done in our lives, and that would be the material, so to speak, to begin with as we consider our witness for Christ. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the truth is, all of us have testimonies to share of what Christ has done in our lives. Some maybe a bit more, some maybe a bit less, but all of us have testimonies of what God has done in our lives. And I want to take this opportunity to encourage you to jot these testimonies down, because the truth is, we tend to forget. These are our testimonies that we can use to bear witness for Christ. And these are how we can glorify God for what he has done in our lives. Okay, so coming back to our text for today, we are called to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, which is, of course, a reiteration of Jesus' instructions at the end of the book of Luke. So, why Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth? Why specifically this order? Why specifically these names? Well, geographically and historically, in the history of Christian mission, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth would be ever increasing distances from what would be so-called home to the disciples. Of course, that is Jerusalem, right? And the disciples of Jesus actually bore witness to Jesus in that order, approximately, even going to the ends of the earth. And if you think about it from a literary standpoint, it nicely also outlines for us what would be the scope or even the agenda of the book of Acts. You find that the author starts from Jerusalem, he goes to the Acts of the Spirit in Judea and Samaria, and then the Acts of the Spirit to the ends of the earth. Question, what does that mean for us today? Do we actually therefore have to start ministry from Jerusalem? And in fact, there is at least one ministry that I know of that feels convicted to do just that. So they literally send workers to Jerusalem to bear witness for Jesus right at the heart of present-day modern Jerusalem. And I think that's quite powerful, right? But may I go further to say that perhaps this is also to remind us to intentionally seek to bear witness for Jesus if you use Jerusalem as an illustration of what is closer to home. In other words, let us be intentional also to bear witness for Jesus in our families, to our friends, to our colleagues. In other words, our neighbor, those who are around us. And this is, may I suggest, not going to be easy. Why? Simply because of all the people in Singapore, if you are a Singaporean. And of course, if you're tuning in online, wherever you are, you may have somewhere else geographically as home. But if you think about it, it is our family and our real friends who have seen us not only in our best moments, but also in our terrible moments, in our worst moments, when we have been simply unlikable, simply obnoxious. And you are going to need to take Jesus' command seriously, because how in the world are we going to bear witness to these who have known us at our worst? But if we go back to our text, I think it is also equally important to remember that Jesus intended us to bear witness not only in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but also to the end of the earth. And how are we going to do that? Perhaps we need to be intentional to partner our missionaries, our PSBC missionaries, in prayer. And in case you don't know who our PSBC missionaries are, there are two things we can do. One is a bit more immediate. Speak to any of our leaders or our pastors about it. And secondly, you can take notes during Missions in Focus Month, which is coming in July, right? But perhaps this would be an encouragement for us to now be actively looking out for them and actively seeking to partner them in prayer. Maybe another way would be to be intentional to pray for our missionaries in preparation. And why do I say that? Because they are based here in Singapore for now. So catch them before they go off, lah. That's the point, right? So who are they? Well, get to know Sao Xiong and Levine. They're somewhere in the congregation right now. You want to raise your hands? Okay, that's homework for you all, okay? You see where Song Xiong and Levin are, you go and look for them, right? Get to know them. Get to know what the Lord is doing in their lives. And Su Yuan is also not exempt, because Su Yuan is also preparing to go off for mission, right? I don't know where Su Yuan is. I don't see him around. Never mind, go and look for him, right? And then consider supporting them, because it is not only financial support from afar that makes a difference. Pray with them and maybe even seek the Lord to see how you and I can partner them by serving shoulder to shoulder in some way that makes sense. The various possibilities are there. Just now we heard about the announcement for Go Forth Mission Conference, right? So instead of a 3-day, 4-day conference in the past, now it's a whole year. So now no more excuse. Is those 3 days or cannot make it or finish, right? Then wait 4 more years. No, now it's going to be a whole year. So you can look out for the details. You can look out for these opportunities to see how we can equip ourselves. Let us be intentional to ask the Lord, Heavenly Father, how would you want me to bear witness for you, where people are actually living and dying without having even met Jesus at all? How might I be prepared and equipped to do so? Because the truth is, there are many people around the world that are living and dying without having heard of the gospel even once. And they need the Lord. Okay, coming back to our text. So the natural question that arises would be, what is that secret ingredient which transformed the scared disciples into powerful preachers of the gospel? What is the secret ingredient to faithfully bear witness to our Lord Jesus Christ? So the answer, of course, is back found in our text. So let's look for the answer together, starting with Luke chapter 24, from verse 49. Jesus emphasized, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Wait, what is this power from on high? Acts 1:5 sheds some light. Jesus tells his disciples that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And in other words, as Bible commentators put it, they are to be immersed in the Spirit's power, or even to be clothed with the Holy Spirit like a cloak or a blanket, using the imagery of immersion in water, or perhaps to even be anointed with the Holy Spirit using the imagery of sprinkling of water in baptism. And in Acts 1:8, which is what we just read, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This phrase, come upon you, does this phrase sound familiar? This phrase, come upon you, in the Greek is actually the same exact word which was used by the angel when the angel was speaking to Mary when he foretold Jesus' birth. So that's way back in Luke chapter 1, right? In other words, the same power, this is how I'm going to link it for you, the same power which incarnated Jesus our Lord as a human baby is that same power that would empower our witness, yours and mine. Do I need to repeat that? The same power that incarnated Jesus our Lord as a human baby is that same power that is going to empower your witness, my witness for Christ. That is the encouragement that I believe we can take from our text today. It's not just some random, oh, you go be my witness. You will be effectually my powerful witnesses because of that same power that even incarnated our Lord Jesus as a baby. That is that same power that's going to empower your witness and my witness. And jumping ahead, the event which Jesus was referring to is fulfilled and is going to continue to be fulfilled among us when Luke later records that at Pentecost, the praying disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Power from on high, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, filled with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, can you see this? The secret ingredient to bearing witness effectually for Jesus Christ does not come from us at all. The secret ingredient to bear witness effectively, effectually for Jesus Christ is the power that comes from God's Holy Spirit. And I'm aware, of course, that there are some teachings in some churches that insist that the speaking of tongues must occur as proof that a Christian has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And today's sermon topic and today's sermon time does not allow me time to go into this. But suffice it to say, while I do believe in the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, I also believe that such a narrow definition of baptized by the Holy Spirit equals must speak in tongues is far too limited and far too linear for the amazing power and creativity of God's Spirit. On the other hand, if we are going to be too timid and not ask God to work in our lives and to empower our witness, is also far too limiting for God's amazing grace. God's Holy Spirit is fully God. And when God acts, nothing stands in His way. And when God often exerts His privilege to work in surprising and unpredictable ways. So returning to our text, the point to bring home and the point to act on is that the secret ingredient to bearing witness for Jesus effectively is the power of God's Holy Spirit. And it is God's Holy Spirit who enables those to whom we share what Christ has done in our lives to begin to receive that witness and even respond to it. Why? Because the production of faith is actually the Holy Spirit's work. And so this is how our founder, so to speak, John Calvin, describes the process. And he does it so nicely, right, that I will quote it for you because it's almost like poetry. The Word of God is like the sun, he says, shining upon all those to whom it is proclaimed, but with no effect among the blind. Now, all of us are blind by nature in this respect. Accordingly, it cannot penetrate into our minds unless the Spirit, as the inner teacher, through His illumination, makes entry for it. Some of us today will use this acronym, too long, didn't read, right? Faith is the principal work of the Holy Spirit. Bring that home, jot it down. And how do we get the Holy Spirit's power for witness? By asking in prayer. Notice that way earlier in Luke chapter 11, in his parable of the friend who needed bread, the child who wanted fish, you remember that parable? Our Lord Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Isn't this such a succinct description of prayer? So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is how, according to Jesus our Lord, we obtain the secret ingredient of God's Holy Spirit. In summary, we all need God's Spirit to empower our witness through prayer, because without God's Spirit's power, we as sinful human beings simply cannot even respond to God, just as a blind person cannot perceive the sun's light. So you're probably tired by now, right? So here's an African story to encourage us today. Haven't heard that for a while, right? So during our time at Egbe Hospital, when we came to find out one day that there was this young schoolgirl, I emphasize schoolgirl, she was maybe aged around 14 or 15 and was still counted as hospitalized some 2 months after she had delivered her baby. In case some of us were not paying attention, this was a young schoolgirl that had delivered a baby, so obviously also out of wedlock. A bit tragic, right? But what was the reason for such a long, long hospitalization? Nobody stays in hospital for 2 months simply because of a delivery in Singapore. SGH would have kicked you out a long time ago. So the reason for such a long hospitalization was simple. She could not afford to pay the hospital bill. And so the hospital is kind of like a catch-22, you know. The hospital just refused to release her. She could not go home. And she's even more stuck because her father had disowned her for getting pregnant out of wedlock. You're supposed to go to school to study, then come out pregnant, then go baby some more. So father was just super angry. And despite appeals from the hospital administrators, the father was just simply adamant that because she had shamed the family, she deserved to be cast out. He wanted nothing to do with her at all. So when we came to learn about it, my Nigerian partner in the HIV ministry, Pastor Alabi and myself, we met and we asked the Lord, we prayed for God's wisdom. I mean, how in the world do you tackle this? Because even if you found money to pay for her hospitalization, where would this girl go? Her father had effectively cast her out. She had no home to return to. And if we just paid that bill and asked her to go home, we would probably be condemning her to a worst condition in life. So we were praying for the Lord's wisdom. We were praying for the Lord's answer. And eventually we came to decide that maybe it was more appropriate that Pastor Alabi go and try to speak to the furious father one more time, while my wife and I just supported him in intercessory prayer. So he said, okay, this afternoon you're going, right? Okay, this afternoon. 2 o'clock, right? 2 o'clock, you're leaving the center. You're going to find the old man, right? Okay, we will pray from 2 o'clock. We won't stop. We'll just keep praying, because how in the world are you going to change the mind of this furious father? A couple of days later, Pastor Alabi came back, and this time he had a spring in his step. He was just shining from his face. He was just simply overjoyed, and he was waiting for the opportunity to share, or to put it more succinctly, to bear witness to what Jesus had done. The angry father was still angry, of course. He was super angry, and he was willing to actually just throw Pastor Alabi out of the house. He was like, don't disturb me. And that's already the cardinal rule of Nigerian hospitality. You don't throw people out of your house. Not unless you're super angry with them. But Pastor Alabi remained calm, and he was furiously praying inside his heart. And eventually, somehow, he managed to get the conversation going like, do you know what Jesus did for you? Answer, I'm not interested in the white man's religion. Well, don't know what to say already. But Pastor Alawi learned as we had discussed and we talked. And he said, well, uncle, you know that I'm not white, right? Not me, the Nigerian man. You know I'm not white, right? And then he goes on, something that I shared with him many months ago, is it? You know, Jesus was nearly an African because he was born in Israel. Israel is a near neighbor to Africa. It's nearer Africa than China or Europe or any place else. Then the father became a bit interested because, Jesus is African. nearly African. But he was still angry. So he said, what did Jesus do that I should be interested? Well, Jesus loved you so much that he died for you, you know, so that you could be right with God. Jesus loved you so much that he died for you so that you could be right with God. And the conversation continued into the night. Too long, must summarize. Moved and constrained by God's Holy Spirit, the girl's father eventually broke down on having encountered the Lord. He accepted Jesus. He allowed Pastor Alawi to visit him and to disciple him. And in turn, eventually, he forgave his daughter. In fact, he didn't just stop there. He and his wife, in other words, the girl's parents, went on to adopt that grandchild as their own so that the girl could be able to go back to school and finish her schooling. Was it happily ever after? I don't know. The truth is, I don't know. But actually, I don't think so, because all of us who are parents and grandparents in this service, you know that it is difficult to raise children. Not so simple. But this I know. I know that God will bring to completion the good work that he has begun in this family's life. Amen. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, this might be an almost hard to believe but totally true testimony of God's Spirit at work. My part in it was to pray. Pastor Alawi's part was to be the channel of blessing for God's Spirit to encounter this family, to be calm and don't fight back, and to bear witness to Jesus for what he has done. The question to you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whether you're on site or whether you're online, who is God calling you to bear witness to today? Who is God calling you to bear witness to this week? Would you dare ask God to empower you with his Holy Spirit for weakness? Or will you, in your weakness, just say, I can't and I will not? So as the musicians play, I want to invite us all to spend a moment in silence, and you could write on your bulletins or you could write in your devices. Let us consider what Acts 1:8 is speaking to us. The author Luke writes, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Who is God calling you to bear witness to in your life? Is God calling you to bear witness to in your life? And for those of us online and perhaps on-site. Perhaps the other question that God is asking you is the flip side of that same coin. Because the truth is, you cannot bear witness to what you have not experienced and encountered yourself. You cannot give what you have not received. So maybe God is asking you, will you trust in Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son, who has given his life so that you should not perish, but have eternal life? And so today is the day of salvation. Would today be the day you respond to our Lord Jesus in faith? Would you respond to your loving Heavenly Father? I want to invite you to stay behind and to maybe speak with or pray with any of our elders or our pastors. What is God speaking to you today? So for those of us who want to respond to God's invitation to believe and be saved, I want to ask you to please, would you join me in prayer? God, our merciful, loving God, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead, and I want to turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, would you all stand and let us all join our hearts to pray. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the gift of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, because it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. Not from our own doing, but a gift from God. Yet many today still do not know this, your gift, O Lord. Whether from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria or to the ends of the world, many do not know of this gift yet. Have mercy, Lord. Father in heaven, would you empower us with your Spirit to be your witnesses, Lord, to our family, to our friends, to our colleagues, to our neighbors. And Lord, would your Spirit empower us to have concern and love for those who do not know you, for those who are living and dying without having met your Son, our Lord Jesus. Empower us, Lord, that we might be your witness. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for the closing hymn.